There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along for this Tuesday edition of the show. Beautiful out there. Just actually got to see. First time I walked outside since very early in the darkness this morning. Beautiful. Full update on our forecast for today and the rest of the week with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. He joins us around 12:35. We'll talk with him. And of course, as always, text line and phone lines are open, 343-0106. We'll talk to you right there. And lots to do on today's show. And lots to look at from Montgomery as they get started again with regular session in Montgomery. Remember, I know it seems like it's been going on a while. It has, but the legislature gaveled in and soon gaveled out and gaveled back into a special session dealing with infrastructure, gas tax, those three bills, the three-bill package there, but now back to regular session in Montgomery. Mentioned this morning about yesterday's press conference and a press conference talking about an amendment to the Alabama Constitution that would crack down on the revolving door of crime. How many times have we talked about that here on this show? Well, yesterday at the press conference, you had Mobile Public Safety Director James Barber, along with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran and Mobile Police Chief Lawrence Batiste and Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich, all talking about that revolving door. Once again, I mean, how many times have we had stories of offenders that were out on bond for some other violent crime and then yet to commit another violent crime? Well, this is something that would have to change at the state level, the ability of, or the limiting of ability for judges to be able to offer bond. And the man who is bringing this bill to the House of Representatives, Alabama Legislature today, District 105 Representative Chip Brown, joining us now. Also a man who's hosted this show in the past. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today?
Doing good. So you're in Montgomery. Y'all getting ready. What time do you gavel in?
We gavel in at 3 o'clock today.
All right. Y'all don't mess anything up, okay?
We'll try.
Hey, and hats off to you on carrying this amendment into the legislature. Break down for folks, what this about, how you describe when you're up there in Montgomery and you're talking to fellow House members or somebody from the Senate comes over and asks you what this is all about. How do you explain it?
Well, first off, let me say that this is a statewide issue. I mean, particularly in larger cities, and you get in, Mobile, Birmingham, Huntsville, Montgomery, the revolving door of crime, but it also impacts smaller communities as well. We all, like you mentioned, we all know of cases and where, I've heard of instances where someone will be charged with a violent crime, and then the person that they perpetrated the crime against has seen them on Government Street before they've already been booked out of jail and are out on bond, and they see them walking down the street. I mean, so what this is aimed at currently under Alabama law and the Constitution, Section 16 of the Alabama Constitution states that the only time that a judge can deny bond to an accused is in a case of a capital crime. And we hear these all the time where someone will be charged with a very heinous crime, but yet they bond out because the judge says, well, everyone is, under the Constitution, everyone has the right to bail.
Right.
And what this does is that changes the wording in the Alabama Constitution that instead of just being able to deny bond when someone's charged with a capital crime, it changes it to if someone is charged with a crime that's punishable with life imprisonment, if the proof is evident and presumption is great, if the community cannot be protected from risk of physical harm to the accused or the public, and to ensure the presence of the accused at trial. And, you know, that last one, there's instances that for every single one of those that I could cite, you know, that last one, we all, if we look, go way in the Wayback Machine and we think about, if you remember Gordon Waller, that was head of the Safety Institute, and he was charged with several counts of molestation, and they had to bond him out, and he bonded out, and they've been told he was a flight risk, bonded out. He's never been seen or heard from again, and that was probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago. You know, and then the case of Aaron Johnson, Ashley Rich cited that yesterday, who was charged with murder and first-degree robbery and was actually convicted of that this last week. But in 2016, he was charged with that, and he bonded out. And the only reason he bonded out was because, well, he didn't bond out. I'm sorry. The only reason they were able to hold him was because he had a probation violation. If not, even though he was, even though the only sentence he could have gotten was life imprisonment, the judge still could have bonded him out. But the fact that he had a probation violation, they were able to hold him. And, you know, I mean, you think about the case of, like, someone that's, let's say, a serial rapist. We don't want that guy, if there is a possibility that that is true and that presumption is of guilt is great, do we really want to release that person back into the community? Let him have his day in court, but let him have a cooling-off period in jail and protect the community. And, you know, one of the things that the police chief and the public safety director and the sheriff and the district attorney all cite is gang violence. And, you know, what this, in gang violence, usually Sam Cochran's famous for saying the only time that the shooting and gang activity and gang violence stops is when the person is incarcerated. And this will be a measure, will be a tool that we can take away a lot of that, a lot of that retaliatory actions and at least provide a cooling off period.
Yeah, you know, I heard even Police Chief Batista talked about, he was at a presser one time, and he was so frustrated, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I've had enough with this Hatfield and McCoy kind of stuff going on. It's got to be brought to an end, and I guess that's the value of the cooling off period. It's good to hear you enumerate the reasons here that they can be denied, because, I mean, this seesaw, right, in our great republic, I have part of me that I'm a regular citizen, regular guy, and I don't want people that have shown a track record of not playing well with others to bond right out, and then we have the actual stories where they go out and hurt people again. At the same time, you know, I want to make sure that we are still, you know, the system of presumption of innocence and a system that is protecting liberty where it should is still in order. So it's not like a judge can just say, well, I feel like it, you don't get bond. I mean, there are some hoops and there's some actual things that have to be checked off before it could be denied.
That's right. And in actually, too, it's still the judge's discretion. And it would be done, say, as a probable cause hearing. The district attorney, you know, would have an issue. They'd say, okay, we want to, this guy, judge, needs to be held without bond. And here's the reason that we believe that's the case. And then the judge, you know, could hear it, have his discretion. And that still provides that avenue right there for the judge to have another tool in his toolbox to hold someone. But in the case of someone that he doesn't think meets those standards, could release them on bail. You know, so that's, I think it's a good compromise, and I think constitutionally it's on solid ground because of that.
All right. Hey, can you hang on through a quick news break?
Sure.
Okay. We'll go the news and come back and pick up this conversation. Very important, as District 105 Representative Chip Brown is bringing this to the House today in Montgomery. It would be an amendment to the Constitution. It would apply over the entire state. What do you think about this? We continue to that discussion when we get back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1219 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday and continuing conversation. This is good because we started this morning and there were so many questions about how this might work. We're real lucky to have the person who is carrying this amendment idea in the legislature, our own from down here in Southwest Alabama, District 105 Representative Chip Brown, on the air with us and talking to us from Montgomery, because y'all get back to work for regular session coming up here in just less than 3 hours.
That's right. 3 o'clock, we gavel in.
All right. So while we're talking about this, if people are just joining us, this is an amendment to the Alabama Constitution. So what do we call? Is it a bill to amend? Is it just an amendment? What's the nomenclature? How do I say it correctly?
Well, I say a bill. So okay. You've got to present the bill that would be an amendment to the Constitution. And sometimes, you know, Sean, people don't understand, why can't I vote on this? Why can't I vote on that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way the Alabama Constitution is written. If you are actually changing language in the Constitution, which this would be Section 16 of the Alabama Constitution that guarantees the rights of bond, then it has to go to a vote of the people. And that, you know, same thing, you see that a lot of times with amendments that involve specific cities, if they're a Class 2 municipality, that sort of thing, that it has to go to a vote of the people in time you change the Constitution. So this would be voted on in 2020.
Okay. This would also, it's good because we talked about some on the air and then you and I talked about it during the news break. You know, I watch these. It's easy to have my heart go, heck yeah, let's keep them in jail. How many more stories do we have to see with somebody with umpteen mug shots for violent crimes get out on bond and then go hurt somebody else? So my heart absolutely screams that. Although my mind says, that all being said, we need to make sure we're sticking to what makes us different from other countries in the world, and our system, you know, presumed innocence, also a system that protects the rights of people, even that seem like, you know, we wouldn't want to protect their rights, but that's part of our system. We still do.
Well, and that's right. And a lot of thought went into crafting this legislation from that regard. You know, we need to look at one of the things that is unique to the United States versus other countries is that there is the presumption of innocence until you're proven guilty. Everyone has that right, and that is a pillar in the foundation of our legal system. And so a lot of thought went into that. And what this does, this amendment, still gives the judge discretion in to hold someone without bond. And if he doesn't think there's probable cause, he could still release the person on bond. This is not unique in the fact that it's actually done in the federal system quite frequently. It's done on a lot of times on drug cases. I mean, And it's a slippery slope. I think that this was crafted in such a way that it allows Alabama judges to still take in that presumption of innocence, but also consider the rights of the community and the safety of the community and the safety of that individual, too. I mean, you know, if a person, let's say in a gang activity, mm-hmm. if someone is accused of a non-capital crime and they're violent, they have a history of violence, and they're caught in that revolving door and they're put out there on the street, then chances are very high there's going to be retaliatory violence and there's going to be some type of shooting involving that individual, his family, another gang, that sort of thing. And that's how you have a lot of, if you look, you talk to law enforcement, they will tell you that gang violence, if that person is put back on the street, there is a high probability that there's going to be more gunfire in a short period of time. So this gives those judges still that presumption of innocence, but it gives them that another tool to keep the public safe and to stop that revolving door.
Yeah, because right now, as it stands, capital murder, the only charge where they can keep the suspect to held without bond. But this would then add to it rape and murder and robbery, right? Those kind of felonies.
It would. Class A type felonies. It sure would. Very serious crimes that where someone is really a threat to the community.
And while it has a big, big law enforcement support right here back home, what about that? You said this goes up statewide. Have you heard from law enforcement around the state, anywhere else?
We have, actually. We have the support of the Police Officers Association and the Sheriff's Association. And you know, as we get going on this, as we like I said, I'm going to introduce it in the House, and how that procedure will work is I'll drop the bill. And then it has to get assigned a committee, and then my thinking is probably either judiciary or maybe constitutional. It one of those, and then it will work its way through the committee, and then end up back on the House, and then up through the Senate, and hopefully be signed by the governor, and then we'll be on the ballot in the next election in 2020. But yeah, we've gotten support all across the state, and we. I've got a lot of House members that are wanting to co-sponsor this legislation because they see the need for it in their own communities.
Right. You know, I said it because it was a kind of a, it's a homegrown, I'm proud of you bringing this, and it's a homegrown deal. But yeah, this is the revolving door of crime. I'm not, you know, naive enough to believe that's an issue for the city of Mobile or Mobile County and nowhere else. I mean, obviously that goes on all through the state, all through the country.
That's right. That's exactly right. And this legislation actually came out of me working with you know, Jim Barber and Chief Batiste and Ashley Rich, the DA, and Sheriff Cochran, and you know, their concerns and their thoughts, and this legislation was crafted, and we're off and going with it. And I appreciate their support and their input as well.
All right. You're going to have to make sure that you keep attention today in the House, and maybe walk, you know, take the go upstairs to the Senate and keep their attention, too, as I've heard that also the lottery bill drops today.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
You've heard about that, huh?
I've heard about it. Yes, I have.
Have you had any chance to see anything like in concrete? I mean, I had the story yesterday, a 50-50 split between general fund and the ETF. Any other information that you've heard that you can let us know about?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing that, you know, it's a 50-50 split in, between the Education Trust Fund and then the general fund. And there's going to need to be some type of education component in there for sure. And, you know, and that's that 50-50 split. You know, I think that the opportunity is definitely there. I think that you know, most people in the legislature want to see people have the right to vote on it, and they want to put it on the ballot and let people decide it. I mean, you know, Sean, if you remember, we haven't voted on a lottery since 1999.
Yep.
I mean, Don Siegelman was governor, and you know, it was Bill Clinton was in the White House, so it's been quite a while since we voted on a lottery. I think that, you know, people play the lottery every day. They just play it in Florida and Tennessee and Georgia and soon to be Mississippi. So I think the chances are very good that we will see a good lottery bill. I just hope it's a clean bill. And what I mean by that is a bill that is just really a lottery bill and not loaded down with all kinds of junk that, you know, special interest type junk that doesn't need to be in the bill.
No,
I say let the people vote on it.
And it wouldn't it be, and I would think that, okay, can't you make the argument, because this would be, and so people understand, I've said it a couple times, but we'll make sure, because I hear people talking about it and maybe they just haven't heard enough. This would be a bill to give the right of referendum to the people of Alabama to vote on a lottery, correct?
That's not correct.
It wouldn't legalize a lottery. It would add a constitutional amendment that would legalize lottery, but we'd vote on that.
That's correct. Just like my amendment to deny bond to dangerous offenders, this would amend the Alabama Constitution. Under the Alabama Constitution, there's a provision that has a prohibition against gaming. And people say, oh, well, how can they do it in Atmore and in Wetumpka? And they do it on Indian reservations because those are sovereign nations, and they basically create their own laws. They live inside the state of Alabama, but they're sovereign nations within the state of Alabama. So in order to have a lottery, we have to amend the Constitution that has the prohibition against gambling. And by doing that, and that's been done several times. You saw that with the dog track and that sort of thing. That was done the same exact way just years ago. And this would put it on the ballot, and my thinking would be 2020, and people would vote on it, up or down. They want a lottery, they don't want a lottery.
It seems like it might be wishful thinking that it could be easier to maybe keep some of those rider amendments out of this thing because it's it's a referendum bill versus something else. But yeah, Montgomery never ceases to surprise me.
Well, I think we have. You're exactly right. I mean, with the leadership up there, we have strong leadership, and I think there's a very good opportunity that we would see a clean bill, and that we will see something positive come out and allow the people to have the right to vote on it.
How are you going to vote on it?
Well, I need to see the bill. You know, depends on if the bill is loaded down with a bunch of junk, but I support the people's right to have their voices heard and to vote on it. I sure do.
There it is. As always, I appreciate your time. We'll check back with you throughout the session. District 105 Representative Chip Brown. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Sean. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. All right, coming back, we'll talk to you. Phone lines and text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. I put that in the contacts list under FM Talk 106.5. Use it when you talk to us. I'll talk some lottery. Also talk about what Representative Chip Brown is bringing to the House today. All straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Phone number, the digits, 343-0106, 343-0106. You call that number, you'll talk to Dalton. And let me tell you a little side note. When you talk to Dalton, just ask him about his teeth. Just say, hey, I'd like to inquire about your teeth. Say, I heard there was something amazing about your teeth. Will you tell me about your teeth? So call 343-0106, and when you do, he's back. He told me something that he's my buddy, and I trust him with the world. Do I believe him on this? It's something he told me about his teeth. You'll have to find out when you call 343-0106, or maybe I'll get him to spill the beans in just a little bit. We'll get to some of these texts here in just a second. Do want to go to the phones, and first up, David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Okay, Sean, now I'm going to have to call back and ask about his teeth.
Yes, you got to find out the secret of Dalton's teeth.
Are you just trying to stir the pudding?
Yeah, well, no, it's a real thing. It's like clickbait, but it's a real thing.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to call and say I actually support Representative Brown's amendment to reform the bond system in the state. I would only change one minor little thing about his amendment, and that's the part where in the amendment it talks about if there's overwhelming proof of the crime being committed. I would change that to also include the condition of also the defendant having prior violent arrests. Or violence arrests, like assault, or that kind of something, because that would still cover 90% of.
Yeah, that's right. That wouldn't be too high of a hurdle to jump, since these stories that I think make us all want to pull our hair out is when they're looking for so and so, and we're looking at his past six, and then not only the ladies out, but usually it's dudes. The last six, the last six mugshots for this person for some kind of violent crime.
Exactly, and then that also removes any possibility of there ever being an abuse of that section where the judge saying, well, I see overwhelming proof here, and there's only one piece of paper that's even suggested the defendant did the crime. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It removes the temptation of abuse by adding that extra condition.
Well said. Appreciate the call. How about y'all? 343-0106. I mean, part of this, too, if you heard Representative Brown say the judge still, on their own discretion, could go against this. But I'll tell you what it does. I think it's interesting, is that in the past we've had judges say, well, I had to let them, you know, the law says I had to let them go. And I'm one of those holdouts, y'all. I believe in the rule of law. And if the law says it, you know, you're compelled that way. That's what the judge is supposed to do. But in this case, if this would pass and go up, once again, this is a bill, just like, and we'll talk lottery here in a second, it's a bill to amend the Constitution. And it goes up, and then we would vote on it in 2020, then it would become law. Okay? So this would give also a judge who says, hey, I can't do anything about it, the law compelled me, I had to do this. It would take that away. I would take that away. And I'm looking at some people like on Twitter, too, that have had family tragedies with people that are out on bond committing violent crimes. And I haven't had a chance to read through the whole story. But, I mean, what is the, you know, somebody said on the text line, isn't just setting a high bond work the same effectively as leaving them in jail? To some degree, yeah. But also, if you set a bond super high, you'll get pushback that I don't know the legal terminology for it, but there is where the bond, not excessive, there's an actual, some other term where a bond is set to a point that it doesn't fit with other people that have committed the same crime. Because it has to be, here's the problem, the bond has to be set as per, I think, the crime and the flight risk, not priors, unless somebody can correct me on that. So this would move to change some of that. Of course, it's got to go through the process here. It's got to be brought up, Chip Brown, bring it up in the legislature. It's got to go through the legislature, get signed off on by the governor, and then it would be put on the ballot in 2020. It'd be one of those other things, you know, those other things on the ballot. Like we talk about, there's all the people's name, and then there's the other stuff. Well, this would be one of those other stuff things, and this is a big, big deal. These are the reasons I tell you to pay attention to Montgomery. You know, this is why it's so very important you watch what happens in state government. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll go back to another David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
So, here's something I just want to throw out there. Why aren't we making people break rocks and work on the chain gang and make life inside worse than it is outside? Therefore, people aren't willing to rotate in and out of the system. If it was not,
but
so
they're not
good
choosing.
Inside,
wait. But they're not choosing.
Why the heck would anybody ever want to go back?
Right. Well, the problem is though, it's this, and I'm with you in spirit. I'm with you in spirit. But the studies have shown that even stuff like when you talk about the death penalty, having a keeping people from committing crimes, it like doesn't seem to line up. Like the idea that, you know, if you had to go break rocks like they used to do in Limestone County, oddly enough, isn't that funny? It was Limestone County, Alabama, the last place to have chain gangs. But the places that do still didn't change the people. I guess they just commit the crime anyway. You know, I think what this bill is pushing for is those people that are waiting on their day in court. It drives me, and I know I'm not alone, crazy when they go out and hurt other people when they, you know, they're waiting on their coming up court date for hurting somebody else, and they go back out and hurt other people.
Right. I totally agree. And it's all based on, for the most part, adolescents that, in my opinion, weren't raised properly and don't know really right from wrong.
Yep.
And something has to happen. These kids that are turning into thugs and committing crimes, it's almost like their parents need to be held liable because they're allowing these things to go on, right? It's part of society.
I think there's absolutely some cases of that. You could argue the other case that there have been these stories of, you've seen these parents just breaking down, that they have lost control. You know, they've tried everything with their kids, and they're trying, and the kids are just a bad seed, for lack of a better term. I'm sure that's not popular to say right now, but they can't control them. But yeah, a lot of times it's a fault of parents or parenting or lack thereof that has caused it. But we got to do something. I mean, and in the short
You're
term,
right.
I think this change would do something faster than what we need to do long term, and that's just change, you know, the system that is that's letting kids like this get out and hurt other people.
Right. I totally agree. We got to do something. The way the system is running and operating now is definitely not going to be sustainable.
That's right.
We can't continue to let this go on. Something's got to happen. A good example is I'm in a Mardi Gras organization, and I had relatives come in from Tuscaloosa, like eight young people, I should say. And they were downtown watching the parade after mine on Saturday night, and next thing you know, there's shots fired all around them. They don't know if they're ever coming back to Mobile because of that.
That's horrible.
What does it turn out to be? A couple of young kids that didn't have guns to begin.
Yep. I mean, you get full-throated endorsement from me. I'm with you. I mean, I'm a Mobilian. This stuff makes me put my head in my hands and just go, you know, we got to do better. We have got to do better. And I know the law enforcement folks are trying their darndest, but it's almost like playing whack-a-mole, you know? I mean, if you've got so many people ready to commit these kind of crimes, you can't be everywhere at one time.
I'm with you.
Thank you, David. I appreciate the call. I'll grab some more at 343-0106. Hey, Dalton, did you, by the way, see the morning consult poll? Remember when who were we talking to? They said, oh, no, it's all Beto O'Rourke. It's all, he's got the energy coming off the weekend. Joe Biden went up 4 points in the morning consult polls for the Democrats. I told y'all, if I am President Trump, I want Beto O'Rourke. I want Kamala Harris. I want Bernie Sanders. I want Elizabeth Warren. I don't want Joe Biden. I still don't think that Joe could be, but Joe is, y'all watch, Joe Biden could be one of the bigger risks out there out of the Democrat hopefuls, out of that big long list. Let's go to JD in Wilmer next. Hey, JD.
Yeah, I had a question about insurance. I was wondering if these people that just will not lock their doors and having stuff stolen out of their cars, pistols and all this kind of stuff, are they being reimbursed by the insurance company?
Yeah, I don't
know
that.
There's no love lost between me and the insurance company, but I mean, I know it's a fact of life, but I mean, if they're being reimbursed for their losses, well, they don't have any incentive to lock the doors. They ain't worried about it because they're going to get reimbursed for it anyway. But I mean, you begged and pleaded with them to lock the doors. It's their stuff that's getting stolen. They aren't worried about it. If they're getting reimbursed for it, well, you need to look at that loophole or something.
Yeah, you know, I wonder with that, JD, though, I mean, how much, how much are they looking at for their, before their insurance kicks in, you know, versus the value of the handgun? And do they, you know, like everybody, you get insurance so you don't make claims on it, so you don't lose it. So I don't know. I don't know these individual cases. Somebody maybe that knows more about this than me can answer whether these people claim those stolen guns on their insurance. I'm not sure about that. But if we said, here's the problem though, if we say unlocked car, if we start making laws or penalties against that, then people won't report those stolen guns. And we've been told by law enforcement those reports, that information, those serial numbers helps them break crimes down the road. They hate dealing with the fact that these guns are out, but if these people will never report them, they'll never know that they're, you know, where they were stolen in the first place and see if they can link them through to other crimes. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword here.
You're right, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, the legislators came up with a law about windshield wipers are supposed to be on in the rain. I'd love to know how many tickets have been written for headlights and windshield wipers on during the rain.
You're right. When was that? Yeah, when was that?
Because
that came out?
There's a law. You're supposed to have your headlights on. And I've seen plenty of times where I almost had an accident because somebody's riding down the road, pouring down rain. You can't see 50 foot in front of you. And people come by you, and you put on a turn signal and just about to change lanes, and you see in the mirror, they're coming up beside you, no headlights.
I see it, too.
I don't know how many tickets have been written for headlights on in the rain.
These are questions I don't know. I don't have answers to them, but they are fair questions, JD. I'm up against a break here. Got to run to it. I appreciate your call, and we'll get more of them when we get back. Phone number 343-0106. Plus, when you call in to get on the show, you can ask Dalton what the secret of his teeth is. Tony is going to, I mean, I would not have believed it if I didn't know this man personally, but it's, you got to find that out. 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Looks like a lot of people getting the secrets, or the secret of Dalton's teeth. By the way, soon we'll try to run to President Trump, expect to take questions during a joint news conference. The man they call the Trump of Brazil is at the White House, and we'll run to that in a second. Jay is in Theodore, and he's next up. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Sean. I'm going to talk about that Alabama lottery. Well, resolution to have the people of Alabama vote for a lottery.
Right.
Now, I live in Mobile, and I'm a retired merchant seaman, and I have to go to Florida to play the lottery and stock up on my liquor. That's another issue.
Yeah, bootlegger.
For later. But then I go to Mississippi, I get book gambling and casino gambling. And now with a new tax, I'm to buy gas in Mississippi.
Yep.
All this revenue is running out of Alabama, and we're just so far behind.
Well, we are with the lottery thing, too. And since this has ever been discussed, I think the people of the state need to vote on it. But also, I balance that seesaw with, I think they need to vote on it. I really don't care. I don't have a dog in the hunt. It's not the big deal to me that it is to some. At the same time, the idea that it's going to be this thing that's going to fix every problem and bring money in. I mean, we're the last ones in, right? We're the last ones in. So, yeah, we'll get money from people inside the state of Alabama, and maybe some people will drive across the line to get a variety of lottery tickets. But thinking that it's going to, I think some of the numbers they've rolled out, I'd be really surprised if we bring in the kind of revenue annually that they're talking about.
Yeah, but what about a resolution to change the Constitution about all games?
Well, I'm with you. If you're going to do it, why don't we have a resolution on Class 3? I'm with you. You know why that doesn't happen? Because I know I've said it forever. Lottery is the wine spritzer of the gambling world, right? If rolling dice and playing cards is a nice bourbon drink, then half wine, half seltzer water is what the lottery is. Yeah. It's like, it's okay. It's not really gambling. Yeah. It's lottery. Right, and it's like kids can do it. And, you know, it's like not real gambling to a lot of people. That's why they bring it, because they're scared that Class 3 gaming would not be voted through, but the lottery might. And then they're going to make it like McClendon's bill, even though it really needs to go to a whole bunch of other things, and he even shows that with 50% going to the general fund, but they did 50% for the Education Trust Fund, which is actually growing revenue, not losing revenue, but they do it because people only pass it because they say, well, I don't like that lottery stuff, but I'm doing it for the kids, you know. I care about kids, Jay.
Hello?
Yeah, well, so we'll see what happens here. It's, what do you think? Do you think they get it through? Do you think it makes it through? Do you think we have an amendment in 2020?
They're going to get that through. They have to get that through. We have to get it this 21st century. Getting close to the 22nd. We just got Alabama so far behind everybody. It's amazing to me. I love the place. I wouldn't live anywhere. I was a merchant seaman. I've been all over the world. I wouldn't live nowhere but Mobile.
But we can do better.
We can definitely do better.
There we go. Jay, appreciate the call.